So when you spoke with Logan, what was the thing that stood out most regarding the impact of what his daughter is going through and the refusal of Cigna to cover this medically necessary procedure?
Yeah, I think Logan's daughter suffers from a condition that's quite under-recognized more than it's rare. And there's some controversy in kind of pediatric circles as to whether it's real or not. But I will tell you that it's very real for the kids. It's very real for the parents. And there have been, you know, something like 22 leading academic institutions in the U.S., Canada, Australia, and England who all agree that this condition should be treated with intravenous immunoglobulin, IVIG, which is what Logan's daughter is being denied for. There's been clinical studies that show that it's effective as well. And, you know, normally for clinical trials, we use the kind of bar of statistical significance. And what that means is that the outcome of improvement is not due to chance. So it's likely due to be because of the intervention being used. In this case, the IVIG actually improves the health of these kids. And there have been numerous studies conducted at different centers which all show this. They tend to be quite small populations because the condition, while it may not be rare in the absolute rarest sense, it's still pretty hard to like recruit enough kids to have like a big study.
So when you heard the story, what prompted you to want to jump in and do what you could?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hear the pain in the voice of the parents and you kind of understand the impact this is having on their lives, you know, the financial hardship. And then you hear that there's this community of parents that have all come together online who are all fighting for the same thing, and it's been ruinous. It's been absolutely ruinous to their lives. It's been, you know, it's involved people selling homes, getting divorced, you know, just destroying families because they're, you know, these parents have felt compelled to do the right thing by their kids and they've just had no shot of getting coverage. And I just thought, look, this is a moment where we could do something really helpful to this one family. And then it dawned on us that actually we should do this for all of the families and we should just make it freely available, which is exactly what we're going to do.
So you founded Claimable. Tell us a little bit more about Claimable.
Yeah, so the problem of insurance denials is not rare. It's actually startlingly common. You know, so it's one in five people in the U.S., so, you know, who get affected with denials, and that can be as high as one in three if you happen to be sick. So if you do the rough math, there's roughly about 95 million Americans who get denied their health care every year, and about half of them like stop receiving care. They just, you know, no longer able to continue receiving therapy, which is really problematic. And half of all of the denials are to medications, which patients need. So on the insurance side, you'll hear this a lot. You'll hear that you know, a lot of these denials are to stop fraud, waste, and abuse. I've been, I would say, all over the country in the last year, speaking to families, being in people's homes, seeing patients in clinics, and just understanding, like, this isn't fraud, this isn't waste, this isn't abuse, this is medically necessary care that's being withheld from these people. And as a result, they're not able to actually live their lives, and they're becoming incredibly socially isolated, and they're becoming increasingly disabled, and we need to stop it. Technology caught up, you know, in such a sense that everybody's heard of AI at this point. I think the challenge has been, like, really figuring out, like, how AI can help people, you know, in their everyday lives. At Claimable, we've been trying to move, you know, the point of impact as close to people in their everyday lives as we can. I think one of the deciding factors in the election a couple of weeks back was that everybody's feeling materially poorer. Well, one thing that leads to that, you know, out-of-pocket costs of healthcare. It's everything getting more expensive. And so this is like a really material thing for a lot of people in this country.
Right. And, you know, Juarez, it seems as if there is that denial, and maybe these insurance companies are banking on people just getting exhausted and not appealing, not pushing. What do you see in terms of the statistics for people who actually fight the denial?
Yeah, so it's a good question. Look, the broad statistics, which have been reported in Kaiser Family Foundation and other places, show that 50% of appeals are successful. We're beating 85% of denials through Claimable.
Wow, those are good odds.
Yeah, exactly. So you should appeal, right? And the other thing is that we didn't want to be punitive to patients who are already struggling. So we built something with like a known flat fee, which is $39.95 to appeal. And we take no upside. And there are a lot of businesses that are springing up that are in a way positioning their business model as being slightly predatory and trying to recoup some like fraction of like money a patient might receive back. I think they fundamentally misunderstand like the way healthcare works. Patients aren't getting paid. The doctor is, you know, being effectively reimbursed for the service. So the money actually flows from the patient to the insurance company when they pay their premiums. It doesn't work the other way.
You would think you're paying your insurance premiums every month, and this may seem a little out there, Warris, but what I'm thinking is, okay, if you don't want to pay for this medically necessary treatment, then reimburse me for premiums, because what am I really paying for?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the question. I mean, health insurance is getting more and more expensive and covering less and less, and I think that's an enormous barrier, you know, which is kind of making people wonder what's the value of it, right? And then people encounter severe economic hardship if they don't have insurance, may have an accident or an emergency and end up admitted to hospital, then they're extorted by these monopoly health systems which charge them outrageous prices, right? So insurance in a catastrophic sense is a defense against that outcome, but there are a lot of people who are living with chronic disease where they need it to access medications which they need just to live their lives. And that's really where we've been focusing, is like stopping people from becoming progressively disabled and making sure that people can continue working, engaging in their family, and like living productive lives.
And so it's just really about holding those insurance companies accountable, right?
Yeah, it's that, and it's broader than that, right? Like, I think there's an accountability component for sure. I think there's also this like level of delusion in the insurance industry that like patients spring out of bed every day just delighted to be a member of whichever insurance company. You know, in Logan's case, it was Cigna. People don't often think about their insurer unless they're having, you know, problems getting something covered. And then they don't really have particularly nice things to say about their insurance, because it just isn't easy to use. They can't find a doctor in network. They've received something called an explanation of benefits, which is just really complicated. Or that, you know, they're issued a denial, and then they're kind of left in this kind of loop of like the insurer saying, call the doctor. The doctor says, call the insurance company. The insurance company says, well, maybe it's up to your employer. And then the patient's going round and round and round, all the while getting sicker. So we figure it's actually effective to break the cycle. And patients have protected rights to appeal.